Yeah. Watch Radio representing East Coast, Long Island, New York, 11772, my zip code. You can request a Faith Radio. We'll be catching up with these this week, okay? And I'll tell you why. I have to, because I got Bob Higgins and I got a whole bunch of peoples that are going out, and we have some good testimonies coming back from folks, okay? Their faith has been strengthened and have the ability to preach faith in the substance, which was scripture, and teach other folks standing on the word, teach other folks deliverance. Listen, the teachings, listen, I don't even want to get into it, okay? But the Faith Radio helps me every night. That's all I listen to. Yes, Maria. So every night I got my Faith Radio on. I got a little, you know, 1/8 balance jack out of it, because it has that output, and I have some bigger speakers. Not that that speaker isn't good, because some people, one woman I know has her Faith Radio going. That was weird. One woman has her Faith Radio going for over a year nonstop. I even said to her, I said, that's unbelievable, you know, that it's still going. And she quotes the scriptures on there and from the teachings and so on and so forth. Point is, you can get a hold of us toll free, 877-734-6327. If you did not receive your Faith Radio, you need to let me know. I'm sorry, Anthony. I know we got to get back to him. A couple other people. But you can write us snail mail, not to the old P.O. box. That's an alert. The alert is we are not using that P.O. box anymore. So you can send Watchman Radio / Richard Keltner, K-E-L-T-N-E-R, and 47 West Lake Drive. That's West space Lake Drive. Patchogue, P-A-T-C-H-O-G-U-E, New York, 11772. Now, with that being said, you can snail mail us requests there. Any help or donation, which we have received recently some, helps us get more. Right now, we have a nice backlog of... No, we have a nice inventory of radios sending out. And I believe in the project because it helped me. So... The whole what's been going over a year, you know, people sew and then we get the radios, we make them, we send them out. This has been going on, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of radios. You know, it's a blessing. You know, God is sustaining the whole project. We, you know, look at it. So God likes the Faith Radio project. He really does. I believe it. And faith cometh by hearing. Faith manifests by hearing the promises / the word of God pertaining to your situation and circumstance. Amen? And the word of God is sometimes gradual. You have to keep pressing the enemy. Keep pressing what's coming against you with the word continually. Amen? 877-734-6327. Don't call it now. Shouts out to everybody on WWCR tonight. We got John Ramirez joining us in a bit. You can get us in the chat box, mixlr.com/ Watchmen Radio. Watch MEN Radio. mixlr.com/ Watch MEN Radio. Watchmen Radio. The website doesn't have the link there anymore, so you got to manually go there. So many people, including myself, barely go in there. But if you want to listen that way, you can listen that way. The key right now is, you know what? We got to get Foss on. We're going to get Tom Heward on. And then we're going to get John Ramirez. We're heading into springtime. It's going to be, you know, a little bit of a change. Amen. So how many out there know the devil is a liar? Because Jesus said so, right? Jesus said he was a liar. Let's see if this works. Okay.
Hello?
Chiquita Taco Bell.
All right, you're on the air, man. Act normal. Listen, this is Tom Hurd. Known him for many years. 16 years now. Feels like yesterday, right?
Yeah, we've been around.
Long time. Now, here's the key. I'm going to go over a couple verses. Tom will elaborate also. And then we got John Ramirez joining us, I hope. I don't know if on Skype because he's not. I don't think he's on. So I'll probably call his number. But with that being said, I will tell you this. The thing going on with Trump and this election, it's got everybody, including myself, in a little bit of an uproar. Because I really have the chance to see the control behind who's going to control us. And when you look at it that way, and you think about it that way, it's kind of alarming. Because here we are going all over the world, you know, trying to embed and implant democracy. And here, here we are in our own country. We're the hooting and hurrah and cheerleading democracy implanters. Here we are. And when you lift the skirt up of this political system, you find out that it's quite easy to disenfranchise the public vote. Bam, like that. You can spend all days waiting on lines, hooting and hollering, putting up stickers and signs, and at the end of the day, it comes down to persuading of delegates.
Yeah.
This is crazy. This is not supposed to be this way. And I'm telling you, this election, okay, you know what it is? The embedded rhino, Republican name only. And then on the other side, we got a socialist, a crazy communist. And then the other half of that would be the one that left everybody to die in Benghazi and then breached her email server with who knows who was reading her email. It was in a closet in a bathroom in Colorado. That's where her server was. So with that being said, I mean, this is crazy. And then we got this man, Donald Trump. Oh, he's bad because he seems mean. And because he's mean, he's not of God. You know, but he is of God because he puts his hands up in the air and prays God like that. You know, people really take this judgment of an outward appearance a little bit too far because they just think, hey, we're going to judge him by his fruit. You know what? You might not know all the fruit of that person. So you should shut your pie hole and pray about it. How about that? It's just unbelievable the Christian condemning churchianity that I see going on today. Listen, we can't have Hillary. I'm out of this. I'm leaving. I'm going to live in Ireland and the Philippines. I'm just going to eat coconut and jump around. So I'm telling you, this is getting bad here. You're going to see we could lose the House, the Senate to libtards, and if that's not bad enough, we can lose the Supreme Court. It's just going to be across the... They'll probably kill children before they're even born. They'll figure out a way, hey, let's just kill everybody. They'll take abortion to new levels. You already got children and little girls being traumatized with transsexuals coming in there, and they got their penis out in bathrooms. This is crazy. This has all got to stop. Okay, that was my rant. But I'm going to touch on Luke 9, verse 2. Real simple verse. It says, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, you know, if you consider yourself a disciple of Christ, and you consider the kingdom of God living within you, and you consider yourself doing the exploits of Christ, and we look at this, this is before the Holy Ghost fell in Acts 2, and it would appear to me Jesus was only with them 3 years. Right? It would appear to me that they were still baby Christians. And they were already going out, preaching the gospel, releasing the kingdom. They learned faith. They learned to minister. They learned the authority. They saw Jesus curse the fig tree in Mark 11. The whole parable and the lesson there was, you know, have faith of God. Meaning to proclaim and to confess and to decree in the name of the Lord that there's authority. He was teaching them authority. They learned authority. They took the crash course and then they went out and they understood and they watched and they learned and they did the exploits of Jesus Christ. Real simple. Real simple. Now, here's the key. This was a commandment in Mark 16. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. See what I'm saying? In my name. That's the authority they were learning. They understood that his name was exalted above any other name, Philippians 2, 10 to 11. And because everything's subject to his name, they're all under his authority. When you're grafted in the kingdom, you're in a good position. You're in a better position than any witch, warlock, astral projector, whatever. And we've seen it numerous times, witch warlocks go down. Make their effigies, get their pinpricks, they go down. Because of this one simple fact that they're not under a name higher than any other name. They're just not. They might think they are. But at the end, when they're lying in hospitals and they realized something went wrong with their cauldron, something went wrong with their little ground-up bone in their altar, something went wrong with, you know, getting those rituals together, little graveyard dirt, coffin wood, little hair, effigies, birthday, whatever you want to collect. You can collect. Listen, at the end of the day, many of them go down. And it's all because of this fact. And we read about Bar-Jesus when Paul had to come against the warlock for the sin. He was a powerful warlock. He bewitched the whole city. He couldn't have been a weak warlock. But what happened at that moment, a stronger authority and a stronger power confronted him, and he wound up in a very terrible situation. Now, this is across the board. This is with sickness, disease, pain, suffering, torment, sons of darkness, sons of Belial. Absolutely. But what I'm trying to say is that these exploits must be done. And as baby Christians, we read it to you in Luke 9, it says they were sent out to heal the sick. And he gave them a bottle of oil, didn't he? He said, here, take this, go. Boom. And you know what? That's the problem today. Many are sitting a well waiting for a lightning bolt to slam through them. And they're like, I'm illuminated to do it. No, you go forth and the authority now. That's the problem. Because you know what? A lot of times it's just a numbers game. We've seen it. Pray for 2-3 people, maybe nothing happened. Boom, praying for that person, something did happen. You got to keep going, and your faith will grow as you continually fail. That's right. Do you hear what I said? If you fail, that's good. Keep going, because you might not have failed. A lot of people praying, something, spirit didn't come out right away. Or we couldn't get it out. We failed with that one. Not necessarily. A lot of times it was stirred up and bound and put at bay. We have that all the time. We pray for folks, spirits at bay. Well, I felt better, but for a week or so until I got angry and the thing mustered up again, it's still there, just hasn't been cast out yet. It might have been binded. And the same thing with sickness and disease. This is all the works of the kingdom, but for the same token, this healing of the sick is a commandment. This is not a asking, hey, You have a disciple? Hey, how would you like to go out and heal the sick? It wasn't put that way. This is a demonstration of the kingdom. It says these signs shall follow those that believe. So if they're not following, you got to say, well, am I a believer? What's going on? And then people say, well, it was the apostles. It doesn't happen today. Not us. That's not true. He says, what I say unto you, I say unto all. Look it up. And that meant all the disciples. And that's when one was casting out demons. And they said, he ain't with us. We're going to go stop him. Jesus says, stop him not. He who is with us is not against us. So this whole thing of complacency here in the Western culture and these fake, twisted, wacko anointings that we're seeing, and everybody's spinning around, and they're like, why, feel good, and jumping around. You know, that, listen, we have to get back to the basics. The preaching of repentance, number one, the preaching of the kingdom, which is part of that, and then speaking by faith, healing, speaking by faith, deliverance, commanding it, in the name of Jesus Christ, speak it, decree it, and keep doing it. I remember one story, Smith Wigglesworth. They were in a room of somebody dying with a massive tumor, and they were just in the room with a couple of people from the Salvation Army, and they were just pleading the blood over that thing constantly, the blood of Jesus, over and over and over and over. And he said after a while, like a glory cloud came down and that thing was cursed. I think it even fell out of the woman's body. So, after a while, some things happen. So don't be discouraged. That's the key. You see someone walking down the street, just pray. Say, is it okay I pray for you? I want to speak healing into your leg in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey. See someone that's having a situation, a problem? Can I pray against that? Can I pray? We're going to start asking people. Just in the street, anywhere you go. Most of the time, they're going to say yes. So it's not going to hurt to ask. And this is the way the kingdom's going to expand. It's not going to expand without the power and the signs and wonders. It's not going to expand with words and texts and the way that people are speaking. And like Paul said, the kingdom of God is demonstrated in power, not by fancy word. And we're seeing a lot of that today. So I'm saying this to say this. Me, myself, and Maria are going to try to step it up this summer with strike the head of the serpent. Got to go forward. I just don't feel comfortable, not doing the meetings. And I know John, it just so happens, John's going to be on. So, Tom, we got a few minutes to speak. So go ahead.
Yeah. Interesting that, I've been a believer, some time now. And I got into dreams. And the reason I got into dreams...
Yeah, time's up.
Is, okay.
Joking. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I got into dreams, and the reason I got into dreams is the woman who was teaching on dreams moved in all the power of the Spirit. If you needed deliverance, she would lay hands on you, command the Spirit to leave, and it left. If you needed healing, she laid hands on you, you felt the power of God go through you, and you were healed. And this woman learned and much of what it meant to walk by the Spirit as the Holy Spirit taught her in dreams.
Yes.
And so I had a good initiation, and up to then I'd been a Christian maybe 20 years and maybe had one dream. And I was a little bit resistant because she was a woman and, she's not supposed to teach and all this scripture I had, right? But she had the power. I had the scripture, she had the power. And so eventually I learned to listen in dreams. And I became confident that I had dreams about, and other people in my family had dreams about me dying of this, that, and the other. We would bind it in the name of Jesus, and it wouldn't happen. situations would arise as though what the dream predicted, but because we had bound it, none of the terrible results took place. So I began to really have a lot of confidence in dreams and dream interpretation. But, you know, I never had been very politically involved. I've had a few dreams about Clinton, about Bush, nothing spectacular. But boy, this year, with the calling on my life and some of the dreams that I've had about Donald Trump and other people I know that have had dreams about him, knowing where we're at as a nation, you know, here we are as a nation, you know, one nation under God, you know, gay rights, get married, one nation under God, you know, abort your baby, one nation under God, you know, peaceful Islamists who are slaughtering Christians left and right, one nation under God. We're flying a false flag. That's not the America that I grew up in. And I don't want it to continue that way. And I believe there's some hope that it will change because Donald Trump's not a typical candidate. He's a multi-millionaire, maybe even a billionaire. But guess what? He sees things as clearly as the average guy working in a factory. He says, wait a second, things aren't right here in America. And so he says, I'm a little tired of just making money and being rich. I'd like to do something a little more noble with my life. And so now he wants to, he wants to make America great again. Well, isn't it interesting that as he begins to declare these things, then a woman all the way over in Australia, who, by the way, has one powerful ministry, she has a dream about Donald Trump. And in the dream, she sees the word Trump stamped 4 or 5 times across the United States of America. And then she hears the word triumph, that there'll be triumph when he goes into office. And then she hears that the Lord wants him to be the president. And I'm going like, wow, our country's in trouble. We've had a president that's gotten us into, you know, a deep hole of a muck. And it seems like there's no way out. And now this guy comes along who doesn't know Christianity like all the people that question him. He may be saved. He may be close to being saved, but I believe because God's chosen him, he'll be saved before it's all over. Mightily saved and mightily used. God's promised to work together with him. We spent almost all day today praying for Donald Trump in tongues, in every word way you can imagine. And then tonight, to end it up, I was reading a book on revival, and they were talking about children. And the thing that makes children so fruitful is their willingness to believe. If you look at a child, Jesus pointed out children. He said, look at them. They're humble. Quote, they're humble without trying. They trust their parents. They believe. And Jesus said, except you become like a little child, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God. We need to go back and become like little children and understand that we're believing in an invisible God who says we need to be like children to possess the kingdom. And so I was very excited about what we did today and what we have in store for tomorrow and the upcoming days. I'm excited about, you know, standing in faith and believing God for the man that I believe God has chosen to be president. And we've actually had dreams that Cruz is someone that God doesn't want to be president. And I've had many, many dreams, and Alan has had dreams where Donald Trump was being very kind to him. And Alan's been a person, he's my ministry partner, who's been abused, had a father who abused him, and so he hasn't known kindness. But in this dream, Donald Trump was being kind to him and lifting him up and saying good things to him. Those are the kind of dreams that for some people may not be too important, but this is the quality of the person behind the money. He's somebody who's got a real heart, a real attitude, and a real desire to do something great for America, and I believe God will work with him. And so we're giving ourselves to praying and speaking and wanting and believing that Donald Trump will be our next president. And that's it for now, Rich.
That's it?
That's about where I've
Give you a national platform to get your message out here, and that's all you have, 5 minutes of text.
Well, sorry about that.
Can someone pull the string on your back and keep you going?
I mean, well, how much longer do we need to go? I've got many things I can talk about.
I'm joking. Hold on. I got to get JR on. Hold on.
Okay, great.
Hold on, boy. Going to start playing guitar live on the air here. Maria's going to sing next week. So get ready. Hello?
Hello.
JR!
My brother, blessings. How are you?
I always think of JR Steakhouse when I say that, because that used to be a JR Steakhouse over here.
I wish I owned it.
I miss it, because I used to go there. JR, it's interesting you're on, because we got a... some people have sent in some contributions in the past week, and I feel like the Lord wants us to ramp up, strike the head of the serpent very soon.
I think it's well overdue. I think many people miss it. You made an incredible impact in New York City. Last time we had it here, I mean, we're talking about 1 a.m, and people didn't want to leave. I mean, it was amazing. It was powerful, and the anointing of God was upon that place like you know, I haven't seen it in a long, long, long time.
Yes, and I believe that's because we had such an impact in such a wicked area, and where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. But I will tell you this. We did have a great following where people were coming back from Jersey and so on and so forth. So we got to get that going again. And yeah, I believe,
Now, Brother Rich, more than now, that they're unveiling the whole Temple Baal right in that area.
Right.
Remember that? April 19th?
That's right, I saw that.
So you know that place is going to be even more wicked than it was before.
You know, this country is really sad. But you know what? We're going to start doing healing and deliverance in New York City. I guarantee
it. Amen.
By faith, because we got the finances coming in now.
Amen.
We're going to get it going. We're going to get it going. Is it going to be the building in Queens? I don't know. But I will. You know what? Maybe we'll just go back to the Marriott. How about that?
That'll be awesome. I think that will be an amazing challenge to the devil. I mean, those are the crossroads of the world. It's a place that is demonically principality from top to bottom. So I think, hey, I would love to go bring it to the devil right at his temple.
One thing about JR, you know, we could leave him there, and he'll stay there all night praying for you.
Sure.
I always say that about JR because he does stay there late.
We packed up the equipment, people left, and I still had a whole line of people, me praying and casting out devils.
Yeah, you were casting out. I was watching you when I walked out the door. You know, I called him when I got home. He was still there. So, listen, you come to a strike the head meeting, strike the head of the serpent meeting. Incidentally, I was wearing that T-shirt today. We have a T-shirt. Al had them made up. Yeah, the old black strike the head T-shirt. But I will tell you this. You come to the Strike the Head of the Serpent meeting. We're going to advertise on, what's the radio station we used to use in New York City?
Oh, it was 570 AM. Also, we used the Love Express.
Yeah, no, was it 570? Okay, 570. I'll look at the old receipts. Okay. We're going to advertise on the old radio that we used. And we're going to advertise in Love Express. I'm going to call, by faith, I'm going to call Will on Monday. Get a hold of Tommy, get some artwork going. And I'm just going to take some steps of faith. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, I believe the Lord's going to bless it, and he already is. But, you know, at this point, we have to get embedded and get that going again. Because like JR just said, John Ramirez, you know, the anointing was so strong. You know, demons were coming up pretty easily. You know,
I mean, it was a bunch.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a fuss going on.
Nope.
And that's good. And I think a lot of that had to do with the worship. I know Maria did. You know, we're going to do our own worship now. Maria will be singing, and whoever else we can get a hold of. We got to get strike. I would say this show is the ramp up of Strike the Head of the Serpent this year, because I am not going to sit around, okay, and not get that ramped up again. I was complacent. I wanted to get a static location, but maybe that's not the Lord's will. Maybe we'll just do the once a month again.
Once a month is 12 times a year. I mean, that's a den in hell itself.
Yeah, we're going to do the once a month. Forget about the building. We're just going to do, because what I was trying to do last year, as many of you know, and I failed Remember I told you earlier about, you know, failing in faith sometimes? You do things and it didn't. At least you tried. Sometimes you got to try stuff. And it's by faith, but maybe it didn't work out 100%.
One thing I share with you from the heart, I think we should do it in a way that wherever the need is most in whatever borough, yeah. I think that month, that's where we should help strike the head of the serpent. Whatever month that we know there's a bigger need, yes. And more of a turnout and more people giving financially to help it happen, I think that's the place we should choose and target that area and bring out the strongholds in that area for that month.
Well, I'll never do it on Thanksgiving again. That was terrible. remember that week we did Thanksgiving, man? I was stuck in traffic for 3 hours. That was terrible.
Yeah,
but I think I'll sleep at your house next time.
Yeah, I think we should target the areas that I think they need it the most. And I think every borough, if they want strike ahead of serpent, right. I think if they're willing to give to support that ministry to do that, I think that's one opportunity we can do it that way.
Well, JR, the key is the initial ramp up funds, which seems like we have coming in now. So we'll just use that, the initial ramp up, and once we get the meeting going, we've always had enough from the meeting to do the next meeting. So okay. Once we're ramped up, it goes. It goes.
Ability of moving it around would be great because then we can touch different boroughs because, you know, the more the impact we make with this kind of
different
ministry,
boroughs, right.
The more that we can weaken the strongholds on that borough. And I think that will be good for pastors,
yes,
for leaders in that area, for churches in that area that have been bound by Satan himself. Some churches don't believe in deliverance. Some do, but they don't know how to do it. So I think us coming in, making an impact, I think that would definitely encourage them.
Yeah, we'll get a hold of Bishop Mel. He does worship too. What screwed us last time, one time, is we had a lot of money invested, and then that hurricane came and Bloomberg shut down. You remember that? That was a big problem. Mm-hmm. But we lost all that money. That kind of set us back. But it's going to work out this summer. Amen? By faith. And I will tell you this. JR, a little bit of a testimony on his new book. You got a new book out.
Mm-hmm. Unmasking the Devil.
Okay. Let's touch on a little bit of that. Everybody knows, you should know John Ramirez by now. He's been on 50 million Christian shows.
crazy.
Yeah, his book, Out of Devil's Cauldron, very, very popular book. And his testimony is like none other. He came out of the darkest, deepest pits of hell for many years. His father was... Who was your father back then, JR?
Satan.
That's right.
Satan himself.
And he,
25 years.
Yeah. And that was like your daddy, and... You know, as we walk, his new daddy is much better, though.
Oh, I mean, my new daddy can't be compared to no one. He is all in all, the one in one, and he is the Alpha, the Omega, and the beginning and the end, and that says it all.
That's right. So John Ramirez's first book is Out of the Devil Conjure. That's his testimony of coming out of Santeria, which is very prominent here in New York, as you know. Many of you know that.
And around the world.
Around the world, especially in the Bronx areas. It's very prominent. I got a hoodoo shop down the street here. But listen, witchcraft is very real, folks. John was high level. So his testimony is very strong from coming out of what he came out of. Now, John, your new book, what is that all about?
Well, my new book is, you know, you have a lot of people out there that call themselves Satanists, and they do this, and they do this, and they do that. They claim to be this, and they claim to be that.
Yes.
And to me, it boggles my mind because, you see, the Bible said that if you're in Christ, you should have the mind of Christ. So, and the devil plays the opposite of God's kingdom. He's not God. He's not opposite of God, but he plays opposite of what God's kingdom represents. So, if you were if you're a satanic devil worshiper or ex-satanic devil worshiper, then you should have known the mind of the devil. So, my book Unmasking the Devil is destroying the patterns and cycles of the devil and setting the captives free through deliverance and teaching people and discipling people how the enemy works and how his mind thinks towards the believer today.
Amen. That sounds good too. And I think, as always, everybody can get a hold of your book on Amazon, right?
Yeah, Amazon, easy way to go. You go to Amazon, you can download it, you can buy a paperback. You know, Unmasking the Devil. I believe that my book been out, Brother Rich, it's been out 5.5 months. I've been at 5.5 months now. I got about 180 reviews, which is amazing, and it has sold over 30,000 copies.
Wow.
Praise God. And I know you were going through trying to get the rights of your last book back. Did that work out?
Oh, yeah. I got that. The Lord Made a Way. I got that. That book on Out of the Devil's Cauldron has 532 reviews at Amazon. And I believe that I'm in the talks right now, God willing, and if God's will, it will be a movie one day.
Yeah, that would be a
Praise
good movie.
God.
Yeah, we're going to get Tom to play you. You know, because he still got that evil little grin. But that part of his nature hasn't left.
No, not at all.
But I will tell you,
we can cast
out on him. I will tell you this: I'm excited about this because Tom also will probably be involved in the new Strike the Head meetings, and his friend Alan. We got Bishop Mel. We got you, of course. You're very faithful. You've always helped us so much over the years.
Praise the Lord.
And you know what? You never backstabbed us either. But I will tell you, yeah, and a lot of that, you know.
I don't believe in that. You know, there was I did 25 years of backstabbing. I'm in Jesus now. I'm faithful. And I'm my brother's keeper. So that's the bottom line.
Yeah, yeah. During the whole hat war, he stuck by us through the hat war. Yeah. Put the hat on, you know.
That's me. For each his own, but you know, when Jesus cast out the devil, he never walked around with baseball cap. So I don't know what to say about that. So I mean, if that works for other people, you know, I don't have time to put on the cap. My job is to cast out the devil with a cap or without a cap.
Well, that's because you got nice hair, you know.
Yeah, but if that dude works for other people, hey, listen, you know, more power to you. I'm not knocking it. I just know that God, the anointing over my life. The devil knows about it and is good enough to cast out any devil at any given time.
Yeah. Gerald, let me ask you a few questions about, because if anybody knows, you know, that it does say in Scripture, where Jesus rebuked one of the church, he said that you have not known the mysteries of Satan. There are some things that we should be aware of as far as the occult realm. You know, how prominent is it today in most of the major cities around this country? I mean, are we seeing an uprise like never before?
Oh, I would just say this, and with a broken heart, and it grieves me when I say these things. But the occult realm of the spirit realm of Satan and his kingdom, and how it's operating on the earth, is more organized than half of the churches that is on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, it's more organized, it's more effective, it's more productive. I mean, they're having a revival of recruiting people to the dark side instead of us doing recruiting people to Jesus Christ. So, and that's, thank God for the few churches out there that are holding the ground. Thank God for the ministries like yours, myself, and Brother Shannon Davis, and these ministries that are holding the ground for Jesus Christ. But if it was, I mean, the devil is just having a field day with the stuff that's going on TV, the stuff that is being played on the radios.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous that the devil has the upper hand on a lot of things that supposed to represent Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it would appear the occult is becoming. I was at I forgot the name of the store, but I was at Tangler Outlet Mall there, and there was like a clothing store, and I saw the kids' clothing. I guess it was like a skateboarding shop, but they actually put Baphomet on their sweat jackets. And they have the, you know, the.
I didn't say more. It's not a secret thing anymore.
Yeah.
Celebrities, politicians, all the way down to the middle class and the lower class. I mean, it's not hitting anymore. It's like the homosexual thing.
Yes.
When I was growing up, the homosexual thing, and I'm not saying bashing homosexual people. I pray for them, and we should pray for them because God loves them too. But it's the sin factor that we're talking about.
Yes.
Homosexual thing. I remember when I was growing up, people would say, well, I'm homosexual, I'm in the closet. There's no homosexuals in the closet anymore. I mean, everybody's out.
Mm.
You know, it is what it is. Everybody's out. I mean, they're flaunting it. I mean, changing the laws. They're getting away with that demonic spirit. It's just rampant to the point that now, you know, the whole gender bathroom situation is out the window. So, I mean, look around us. Look around us. I mean, do we see Jesus when we look around, or we see the devil at work?
Yeah, so it's definitely coming to a head. I mean, we're seeing a more uprise of the occult, and like you just said, a more of an uprise in the militant homosexual agenda. And they seem to be working hand in hand.
Yeah, of course. Every demonic spirit complement each other, and because the Bible, even Jesus said that the kingdom of darkness is not divided. They work in ranks. They work in military. Even the demon that Jesus said, "What is your name?" The demon said, "My name is Legion." That means we are regiment. We work like an army. We work together. We march together. We're in unity together.
Mm.
You see, so basic, and not that Jesus. See, the people misunderstand. It what's weak is the church, the flesh. Jesus is never weak. Jesus will never be weak. Jesus will never be missing anything. I mean, it is us that are ones that are weak and creating our own agenda and our own format to try to beat the devil down. When the devil, the only way we can beat it down is through Jesus Christ. We just got to follow the blueprint where Jesus left for us to take the devil and rip his head off.
Mm. You know, it's important, you know, like the meetings we do, Tom will be involved, and you know, the strike the head of the serpent is all about that, is to shut down the enemy's kingdom, and we were quite effective at that.
I think we were more than effective at that. I think we execute a plan that God gave us that really, I mean, we stripped the devil down to nothing.
Mm. Yeah.
Amen.
Some good nights, very good nights there, pretty radical nights.
Yeah, we should come down to nothing. I mean,
the
devil left the building without his underwear.
Yeah, a few times we got kicked out, though.
Yeah, we got kicked out because we had a curfew. But the bottom line, Jesus didn't have no curfew. Demons are still coming out at 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got to go with the mindset that you take no prisoners. Jesus Christ, I'm here to represent the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ with me. And devil, I'm coming for you. Stay right where you are at. You don't have to move. I'm coming for you. A lot of Christians, they run the other way, but we run towards the fire.
Amen. And that's what I like about you. But I will tell you this. We started the show in Luke 9 where Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out, heal the sick. And we know in Mark 16 that he said, "These signs shall follow those that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover." I love that "shall" because that is a certainty. And cast out demons in my name, the authority of Christ. Now, here's the thing. When we look in Scripture, and I know you know the story, I know Tom knows the story, that there was a conversion in Scripture. And we were talking about how the occult, and we had Russ Desdo on last week. He's saying the same thing you're saying. And you know Russ. He's very, very fond of you, J.R. He was at the one meeting, remember, Russ Desdo?
I met so many.
It was a pretty big meeting. It was a packed night, maybe 300 something people. You were there that night. I remember you had. He didn't bring his books up, but I will tell you this. Getting back to Simon the Sorcerer, in the Book of Acts, we read about his sorcery. He was active in the occult and made a living off of it, and many do. We know that. But the key is that when the true power of God was flowing in such a way that he tried to buy the power, that didn't work out.
But Simon the Sorcerer represents today, and I share this, I preached this in Houston, Texas, last weekend. I was in Houston, Texas. Simon the Sorcerer represents the pimp preachers that are out there pimping the anointing, pimping the cross, and represent when the true church of Jesus Christ show, which was Philip, everything, he turned the tables around on the fake church, which is Simon the Sorcerer, because even the people say he had great power, and we thought he was a great man. We thought he was the great power of God.
Yeah.
So it was the divination spirit that was working through this man, that he had deceived the people in Samaria, the region of Samaria. Yeah. And then when the real church showed up, set the people free, even the witch believed, but the heart was never, no transformation in the heart, that he wanted to buy the anointing, because you got these pimp preachers out there doing the same thing on radio, on TV, trying to sell you the anointing, try to sell you some soap, try to sell you some water, towels, whatever they're trying to sell you, the anointing. These are foolish, nothing but Simon the Sorcerers of today's time that we're in.
Yeah, well, you know what? He was rebuked. I believe it was Peter. He said, "Your money go to hell with you," right? I mean, something of that nature. But, you know, he did have a fear of God. I think he was baptized in the Spirit. I don't know. I'm not 100%, but
I don't think he was baptized. I think he just had goosebumps and
did he? Well, yeah. I know that he was worried about what Peter warned him about.
I mean, you got to go back to Judas. I mean, Judas was never saved.
Yeah.
you got to go back to Judah. Judah had an agenda that he came on board thinking, well, you know, if I hang out with this Jesus guy, you know, I keep the money bag and I can just go shopping and do and buy my stuff when I need it. Yeah. And then on top of that, Judah turned around and thought that Jesus was going to throw the Roman Empire and he was going to get a spot somewhere, you know, to rule and reign. Yeah. But when he saw that the situation was different, oh, he said, well, let me go get my 30 pieces of silver and betray this guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, the point I was trying to make is that, you know, he was a sorcerer. And the power of God was demonstrated before him. And we can go back to Mount Carmel with the Elijah challenge there, where the demonstration of one power to a next. We know that the power of God is greater. Now, that's what I feel is needed today, is a demonstration, more so than ever, to pull people out of the occult, where they would, you know, do you want to be on a weaker power system? I don't.
But you know what it is, Brother Rich? We need vessels that are really sold out for Jesus Christ, because the only way that power is going to flow to vessels that are sold out for Jesus Christ. And the apostles were vessels that were sold out for Jesus Christ. And in the Old Testament, the prophets of old, they were sold out for Jesus Christ. So that's why we saw that power.
Well, you're an example of what I'm saying. I mean, you came out of the darkest, deepest pit of the occult and have completely flipped. And that's a good testimony. Amen. So, you know, God's going to use you, I believe, to bring more and more and more people out of that pit. And that's the good news.
Amen.
And anybody listening tonight, when we do get the meetings going and you want to meet John, you know, we'll probably be in Midtown at the Marriott Marquis on the fourth floor, where we used to meet every month. But getting back to what we touched on in the beginning of the show before you came on was the need to step out and just pray for people. You know, no matter what, just pray, especially for unbelievers. And because God, a lot of times God will just heal them, you know, in even the weakest prayer. You know, everybody's saying they're waiting for some type of fire to flow through them, and I like that too, you know, if I'm on a fast and whatnot. But a lot of times it's just the most simple prayer, and someone can get healed. So we got to just constantly pray without ceasing, in a way where in a situation where someone is an unbeliever, we have to see the fact that God will reckon to heal a lot of folks just to demonstrate who he is to them. Because there's a lot of folks out there that their healing could be unto the glory of God, like we see in Scripture when they ask who did sin, that this man be blind. Some, it would appear to me that there could be some infirmity that are out in the world that are simply there waiting to be a testimony.
Amen.
You remember that one guy where they're asking who sinned, the mother, the parents, or did he sin? And he said, no, this one is just unto the glory, just to glorify God.
Amen.
So, you know, you could just run into, boom. You could run into a few people, boom, and you're going to get instant healing. And unless you step out and pray the prayer of faith and speak and confess and decree the word over that situation, Isaiah 53, then can it happen? No. Because it takes participants. So that's kind of where I was at earlier.
And I also think that people should go around and plant seeds. I mean, because if you plant them in one side of town and that person crossed my path and I water it, God will make the increase happen. I mean, so I think God has called us to go out and plant seeds. And if you touch someone, that person is healed, hey, that's a bonus.
Amen. And sometimes you don't even have to touch them. Tom, you
always keep going as you talk about all this, and it's real simple. It says bountiful sowing equals bountiful crops. Sparse sowing equals sparse crops. Mm. So the more time you spend praying for the sick, the more time you spend preaching about healing, the more time you give bountifully toward the ministry of healing or deliverance, then the greater will be the abundance of the bounty of the return.
That's good.
So if we go out with the intention of sowing bountifully, in the area of deliverance, in the area of healing, in the area of, you know, lordship, then you're going to have a bountiful crop.
Yeah. That's right.
That's all.
That's good. That's good. Good word right there. That's right. And that simplifies it into, that's a form of sowing. The more people you pray for is a form of sowing. The more people you pray prayer of deliverance for is a form of sowing. And JR has been going all over the world for years and sowing, and I'm sure he has a lot of fruit everywhere, and that's the key, is that he's a man of faith, and we want to gather more folks together and get this team going for this summer to rig back up by the Lord, get some meetings going again. So, JR, we're almost at the top. Contact information. We are live tonight on WWCR. Shouts out to all our listeners. This is John Ramirez. He's been on many times. Jeez, first time he was on must have been 2007, maybe.
Wow.
Was it?
Yeah, around there, 2007.
Yeah, been a while.
One thing I say, you know, people are hungry, because I was in Houston, Texas, and preaching last Sunday, and the power got hit that place. The church started, the service started at 3 o'clock, and people came from California. Now, I'm in Houston, California, Denver. They came from Denver. They came from Minnesota. They came from Arkansas. They came from Walker, Texas. They came from Dallas, Texas. They came from Naomi. They came from many places around. There was one lady told me, I drove 7 hours to get here. The last person I finished praying for was 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
From 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the service started, because people are hungry. People want the truth. People don't want games anymore.
Amen.
People want to be set free. People want a real relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right. John, if someone wants to get a hold of you, contact information real quick.
Yeah, my brother, just simple. They can go to johnramirez.org. That's my website. They can find me there. They can invite John or whatever the Lord leads in their heart. That's the best way to find me. Amen?
Amen. And he's also on Facebook, if you want to join him on Facebook. And you can always get a hold of me and get ready for the Strike the Head meetings coming to New York City.
Amen.
Amen. And John, thank you for joining us tonight, sir.
Brother, thank you so much. Have a blessed one, Brother Rich, and I'll talk to you soon.
God bless you, sir.
Bless you.
All right, John Ramirez, folks, and Tom Heward, the infamous Tom Heward. Tom, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week. By the grace of God, the Lord loves you. We certainly love you. The Lord certainly loves you. Tom might love you. And we just praise the Lord for this broadcast tonight. And 1-877-734-6327, toll free. We will see you by the grace of God next week. Amen. Good night. Night.
Amen.